Tonight, our scripture reading is Psalm 37. He will not forsake his saints. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright. For there is a future for the man of peace, but transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Amen. Thank you, Joan. Psalm 37, conquering the fear of man with faith in God. Conquering the fear of man with faith in God. This psalm is so relevant for us this evening as we meet to study. We persecution brings about many emotions and feelings that we have to deal with. And we talked about this morning from John the Baptist how we can struggle with doubt and discouragement and despair when facing hardship or opposition to our faith. And we can also experience fear, worry, anxiety when we are facing opposition, persecution, hardship for our faith in the Lord. And I think that experience for us as believers is only going to increase as we see around us the hostility towards our faith continues to increase. The voices who disagree with the Christian belief and the Christian truths and the Christian gospel and the Word of God continue to grow, not only in number, but in volume. And there's a constant pressure from society around us to be silent, to silence our faith and our values, to drown out our voice, to shout us down, to dismiss our position, to not have the opportunity to explain our position. The immediate response is name-calling. If you oppose the norm of society today, then you are immediately labeled some type of negative label and accused of being a hater and bigoted and some kind of phobia. When actually our position of clinging to truth and sharing truth and standing for truth is the most loving thing we can do, is share truth with others. But we're going to continue to sense and feel as Christians in America a pressure, a pushback to our freedom of speech, to our religious liberty. And we're going to continue to feel the consequence of acting and living according to our faith, of speaking out, whether that's in the workplace or in the classroom or in social interaction or on social platforms or at the grocery store, at a family reunion. The loud, hostile pushback is only going to increase, and with that, there's going to be an increasing experience among us of the fear of man. What's going to be said? What's going to be done? What's going to be the consequence? What am I going to face if I take a stand? And that is precisely the issue that Psalm 37 addresses. The fear that often arises in our hearts when unbelievers oppose us or threaten us or attack us because of our faith. That is the specific issue of this psalm, and our faith is going to be served well tonight when we kind of observe broadly some kind of three main themes that are found within this psalm. But broadly speaking, the main points that we're going to make tonight do not just apply to the specific realm of fear of man because of persecution, but they can be applied to any instance of fear or worry or anxiety that might grip us, whether that's coming from persecution or whether that's coming from just hypothetical panic or a circumstance or stress in life that's causing us to react with fear or worry or anxiety. The things that we learn in this psalm tonight can be applied to any of those situations. And the psalm begins this way: "Fret not yourself because of evildoers," David says. So he understands, he's been there, he's lived this out. He has had those who have threatened him, assaulted him, tried to kill him. He's been through it, and he understands that that the first kind of natural reaction we can have is to worry, to fret, to fear. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Now that, why would we be envious of those that we are fearful of? Well, envy often follows fretting in this context because for the moment it can appear that unbelievers are living the good life. It's kind of like John the Baptist again, isn't it? That probably what caused his doubt to set in was he was being punished. Believers are enduring ridicule and harsh treatment, and unbelievers seem to have the world. And in the heat of adversity, we can be tempted to think that maybe we would be better off. Maybe life would be easier. I wouldn't have to worry. If we would just kind of go with the flow, if we would not speak up, if we would not hold on to that old way of thinking, that those old Bible passages, maybe we just need to, as they say, get on the right side of history and life would be better. If we capitulate and join the world, David cries out in Psalm 37, "Do not fret. Do not envy." And then he spends 39 verses, he says that to open up his psalm, "Do not fret, do not envy." And then he spends 39 verses making his case that while the life of an unbeliever may appear to be better, may appear to be superior, may appear to be far better off, it is far from it. Indeed, what appears to be the good life now only ends in eternal ruin. And what appears to be the troubled life now, what appears to be the little life now, that life ends in eternal joy. So how do we conquer the fear of man? We do so by faith. So let's talk about this psalm under three main headings. Of course, we can't go verse by verse as we usually do. It's been wonderful to hear all of these verses read to us tonight. Thank you, Joan, for doing that. What a ministry it is just to hear the Word of God read over us. But now let's just think about this psalm in three ways. Number one, we conquer the fear of man when we look to the future by faith. We conquer fear when we look to the future by faith. We conquer the fear of man when we look to the future by faith. You know, the true test of anything is not what it is, but what it will be. The true test of any faith is not what it appears to be at any moment in time, but what it will be for a lifetime, for eternity. There are many things in life that come and go that seem alluring at first. They, especially in this context when we're talking about evildoers and opposers of the faith, they seem loud and it seems attractive and hip and cutting edge and with the program and even seems compassionate at times. Even seems to be right at times. If we just look at it in the momentary, but in the long run, many of those things simply turn out to be just as the passage talked about, just smoke. It comes and it goes. We can get caught up in the smoke of the moment. We can get caught up in the flash of the moment, in the heat of the moment, in the argument of the moment, in the emotion of the moment. When we're not thinking about the long term, the long run, as believers, while we live in the present, surrounded by time's hardship and opposition, it's keeping our eye on the future, keeping our eye on what will last. Looking to the future by faith, that's how we overcome the temptation to capitulate. That's how we persevere in our faith. That's how we keep believing when it seems that maybe everyone around us has stopped believing the things of God. So often we are captured We are captured and enslaved at times by what is immediately in front of us, by the discussion that we're having, by the debate, the argument that we're having, by the pressure that we are sensing, by the news we just listened to, by the latest discouraging occurrence in our nation, and we're captured by that immediate, the tyranny of the immediate, it's called. And it often causes us to lose sight of the future. We get so wrapped up in what's being said and what's being done around us and to us and against our faith today that we lose sight of the future. And yet it is by faith in future grace, in what is to come, in what will be, it is in looking to that by faith that we gain the right perspective in the here and now, that we're able to see through the smoke, that we're able to stand firm in the heat of the battle. The Christian faith that we have inherited, that we walk with, is filled with a long line of martyrs. We talked about one this morning, John the Baptist. People willing to lay down their lives for faith in Christ, beginning with the Lord himself and every age since, right to our present day, right into the day in which we live. There is a continuous witness of the worth of Christ, that he is even better than life. The sacrificial death of his followers continues to extol his worth. He's worth dying for. Now, why is it that so many believers down through the ages, how is it that they've overcome the fear of man? They've overcome those threats, and they've overcome those beatings, and they've resisted the enticement to compromise, to deny their faith, to be silent, to not speak up, to deconvert. We hear a lot this day, sadly, in our time, of well-known former evangelicals who are experiencing what they call a glorious deconversion, and they are no longer Christians, and that's the hip thing to do. How is it that there's been so many believers who resisted deconversion all the way to the giving of their lives? The reason is they were looking to the future. They were not just looking at the prison bars. They were not just looking at the noose. They were not just looking at the flame. They were not just looking at the gun. They were looking to what awaited them on the other side. They were not just looking to the few moments of pressure and suffering. They were looking to an eternity of glory ahead of them. They were not just looking to family and homes and money and safety and comfort. They were looking to eternal joy that never fades, that never passes away, that moth and rust do not corrupt. They were not looking to what they could lose. They were looking to what they would gain. That's what I see happening in verse 2 and in verses 9 through 20. I'm getting this kind of large-scale observation by looking at verse 2 and looking at verses 9 through 20. And that is, we conquer the fear of man when we look to the future by faith. Look what David says just in verses 1 and 2. We won't go through 9 through 20 one at a time, but here's the pattern. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. He's looking to the future. He's looking to the future by faith. And when you study verses 9 through 20, he keeps going to the future, looking at what will be, looking at what God has promised. And so what appears to be the victory and the dominance and the reward of the unbeliever is very short-lived, and it ends in his own destruction, both temporally and eternally. And this psalm covers both. It's It's not just that sin reaps horrible consequences now. That's bad enough, but sin reaps horrible consequences forever outside of the covering of Christ. And yet what appears to be the defeat and the anguish and the struggle of the believer is also very short-lived in the scope of eternity, in the scope of our lives. It's very short-lived. And it ends in abundance of everlasting joy and peace in the presence of God. As David says, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's the future. God's people will inherit the new earth. God's people will live in joy and abundance and peace and glory and joy. God's people will have the earth. It seems the unbelievers have it. It can seem in our lives that we might have to lose it all. We might have to give it all. We, under the harsh push of those who are apart from Christ. Now, how do you stand through that? How do you willingly lose your properties and lose your standing and lose your life? Because the meek shall inherit the earth. It's what will be. This is exactly, when we look at the New Testament, this is exactly why Paul could not be silenced by threat or overcome by the fear of man. His eyes were always on the future. Paul is in the New Testament what David is in the Old Testament. Paul's opponents would say, just leave Paul alone and he'll get over this Jesus stuff. And Paul says, to live is Christ. Paul's opponents would then say, if you don't stop preaching the gospel, we're going to beat you, Paul. And Paul would say, this light momentary affliction is preparing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In other words, the harder you make it for me here, the greater God is going to make it for me there. He's got his eyes on the future. Okay, Paul, we'll silence you. We'll put you in prison. And Paul says, that's wonderful. I've been trying to get the gospel to the Roman guards anyway. Okay, Paul, we'll just kill you. And what does he say? To die is gain. Dear friends, let us not judge our faith or our lives or our circumstances or our feelings or our emotion by our present temporary conditions. But let us not grow weary or anxious or envious or fearful of the seeming success of the world around us. For it is the end of a thing. It is the end of a thing that is the true test of a thing. How do you conquer the fear of man? Where will you be 10,000 years from now? Think about where you will be 100,000 years from now. Where will I be 100,000? We sing that in a hymn somewhere, don't we? 10,000 years or something like that. What is it? Yeah, what, this is the last verse, right? After, how's it go? When we've been there 10,000 years, we will be there 10,000 years. Keep your eyes on the future. We conquer the fear of man when we live by faith in future grace. And when we think about where we'll be 10,000 years from now, the fears and the challenges and the hardships and the anxieties of today shrink. They become nothing. How is it that believers have been so bold? Because they know they're still going to be with God 10,000 years from now. Whatever you do to me today, I'm still with Him 10,000 years from now. Faith will grow. Secondly, we conquer the fear of man when we live in the present by faith. So we conquer the fear of man by looking to the future by faith, and we conquer the fear of man when we live in the present by faith. So when we keep our eye on the future, it gives us the faith to live in the present. Psalm 37 sets before us five paths of living out our faith in the present day. In verse 3, we're going to walk through these together. The first one is verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. Rely on Him. Depend on Him. Lay it all down at His feet. Don't be enslaved by threat and marginalization and fear. Give it to Him and go about life living for Him and not in fear of them. Set about your day living for Christ and not in fear of them. Trust in Him. Remember, when we are mistreated and maligned and wrongfully treated, we're not alone. When we are assailed, a child of the King has been assailed. Trust Him. Rely on Him in our day-to-day circumstances. But number one, trust the Lord. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 4. This is a wonderful verse, isn't it? You probably know this verse. Maybe you've memorized this verse. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Don't just be a normal, casual believer. Live joyfully as a believer. Delight yourself in who He is. Let us know our God by studying His Word. That's one reason why we're reading through the Bible this year, to get to know our God, that we might delight in Him. Delight in who we discover Him to be, who He has revealed Himself to be. And as we read through His Word, we delight in every great attribute of God, every great characteristic of His nature. They are all good. Everything about God is right and good and wholesome and wonderful. We not only see in the Word of God His great attributes, but we see His great deeds, the wonderful, great things He has done and continues to do in creation and salvation and providence and in eternity future. Every faithful attribute and deed and every faithful promise throughout the Scriptures. Delight in Him. And as we delight in Him, we will begin to desire Him more. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're delighting in the Lord, that's what you're desiring. And the more you delight in Him, the more of Himself He gives to you, the more of Himself He reveals to you in His Word, the more you treasure Him, the more He is treasured, and it just continues and continues. So we live in the present by faith. Delight yourself in the Lord, by keeping our eye on the future by faith, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You see that? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Present, future. Third thing, verses 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Don't be swayed or sidetracked by the allurement of evil and enticement of sin, but commit our way to the Lord. Pursue holiness, love righteousness, desire godliness, and leave the outcome to God. Fret not, worry not. Live in the present by faith. Commit your way to the Lord. That's the present. Commit your way to the Lord by keeping your eye on the future by faith. Here it is. And He will act. You see that? Present, future. Commit your way to the Lord. Present. And He will act. That's future. So what gives us the strength to commit our way to the Lord today is that we know and trust He will act. Fourth is verse 7. Be still and wait patiently for Him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. this is the Frank Sinatra syndrome, isn't it? Fear and worry because the man who does it his way instead of God's way seems to have the good life. Psalm 37 says, be still and wait. God's way will prevail. God's will prevail. God's promises will come true. Be still and wait patiently. The believer and the unbeliever are not the only actors in this drama of life. This is what we need to be reminded of. We're not here left alone. It's not just us, the church, and the world, and that's it. God is here. He's the main actor. God is bringing this drama of life and history to its final climactic conclusion, which is the exaltation of His Son to the glory of His name. And everyone who is caught up in His Son will be caught up in His kingdom forever. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord. Verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. You can react in many different ways when you worry. You can react with doubt. You can react with depression. You can react with anger. You can be angry at God. You can be angry at unbelievers. Remember, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Those who oppress and press, believers need the Lord. They need the Lord. Psalm 37 says, if we look to the unbeliever with anger, we end up exactly where he is, in sin. The only way we can resist having our hearts filled with anger towards them or towards God, or just angry in and of itself because life is not what we want it to be. Again, we're so wrapped up in the temporary, and we're not keeping our eyes on the future and on eternity. Are you unsettled because you're not happy with life? It's not what you planned it. It's not what you paid for. Again, we're keeping so much focus on 80 little years, 90 little years, 100 maybe, little years. When compared to eternity, what are we fretting about? What are we worried about? What are we discontent about, by the way, when God has given us eternity? We can resist having our hearts filled with any of those things by remembering the end of those apart from Christ and the end of those who are in Christ. And then thirdly and finally, we conquer the fear of man when we look to the Father by faith. So there's three things for us. Any kind of fear, worry, and particularly worry of being assaulted or suffering for the faith. We look to the future by faith. We live in the present by faith. And we look to our Father by faith. The reason why we can have faith in the future that God has promised is because He is God. This is why we can have so much confidence in the Word of God, because He is God. Reason why we can live in the present by faith is because we belong to God. We are His. We are His workmanship. We are His sheep. We are His people. It's our Father who makes the sufferings of this present worth it and the blessings of the future certain. So we trust Him, we delight in Him, we commit our way to Him, we wait for Him, because through faith in Jesus Christ, the one eternal, triune, holy, sovereign God is indeed our Father. We hold fast to the future He has promised us, because if He has given us His Son to save us, then will He not richly give us all things, Paul says. If he gave his son, he's not going to hold anything, withhold anything. And I'm getting this observation. It's throughout the passage, but it's so clear in verses 39 and 40. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Our salvation is from the Lord. There's where our security is. There's where our eternal security is. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. Are you in trouble? You feel trouble? Is your soul troubled? He is our stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. They believe in Him. How do you take refuge in God? It's in Christ. Though dark days may cloud the future from our sight, hard days may paralyze us in the present, but we can always, even when we can't quite, when we're hurting so bad or worried so much that we can't quite think about the future, when we're paralyzed in the present because we're overwhelmed, we can still always look to our Father. The Bible says Christ has brought us. Over in Ephesians it says Christ has brought you who were so far away by His death. Christ has brought us near to God. Your Father is right there with you, before you in Christ. We can always look to the Father. So how do we conquer fear, and how do we conquer the fear of man? We look to the future by faith. We live in the present by faith, and we look to our Father by faith.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.